let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. Rainbow Farm by Robert R. Williams is an account of the state of U.S. political affairs since the election of Donald Trump as the 45th president. It uses the same principles as George Orwell did in Animal Farm, where certain notorious personalities come to life as animals on the farm. It exposes the hypocrisy of both U.S. political parties, donkeys and elephants, a lighthearted yet poignant commentary on the political machinations driving American culture and political discourse in the early 21st century. Robert Williams is a retired Army officer, an M.A. in anthropology from the University of Memphis, M.A. in Russian studies from Florida State University. Growing up the son of a schoolteacher, encouraged to read from an early age, remains an avid reader to this day. And over the years, British author George Orwell and the allegorical novella Animal Farm, well, it's still his favorite. Residing in Annandale, Virginia, Robert R. Williams, author of Rainbow Farm, joining us on This Week in America. Robert, welcome to the program. A great opportunity to talk with you about this book. Nice job with the book, and welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks for having me.
What a clever interpretation of what's going on. There's something in it for everybody. We'll be laughing, we'll be smiling, we'll be thinking as we go through this. What was the inspiration for writing this book, Rainbow Farm?
I'd say first and foremost was my time in the military. I spent 32 years in the Army. The first part of that was a combat arms officer in the infantry, but then I transitioned into a foreign area officer, which allowed me to spend a lot of time in Europe. So I spent about 20 years in Europe, and a big part of that was spent going into Russia and just seeing other countries and, you know, through a different lens of, we have a tendency to look at things just through an American lens as the way we do it's the only way and the right way. But being in different countries, you see there are different ways and sometimes even better than some of the ways we do them. But that's sort of seeing different countries. But really what got me was when I got my MA at Florida State, there was required reading for Russia studies, and Animal Farm was one of the required readings, and it just stuck with me. And a couple of years ago, me and my family were down on vacation in Hilton Head, South Carolina. And again, I always bring the little copy with me because it's short. You can read it really quick.
Yes.
I know, but I keep reading it over and over. We were riding around on bikes, and, you know, this may sound a little crazy, but what really inspired me, there was a crow. There was a crow on a fence, and it was crowing. And I go, that reminds me of somebody. So then that sort of transitioned into, hey, it was Animal Farm, but you know something? We have our own farm, and we have our own animals. So what I tried to do in the book was match certain types of animals to certain personalities, and I think I did a pretty decent job of that. When you get into, like, Donald Trump is a peacock, Bill Clinton a rooster, Vladimir Putin, sly, so I made him a fox. So I tried to match those certain animals to certain personalities, you know, kicking off with Trump's election and all the turmoil that's gone on since then.
I would say that you nailed it in coming up with the animals to represent the people. You've done an excellent job in bringing these characters, and I think 44 in the book, to life. Let's talk about what the book is about and some of the main characters. I think you've got like three main characters that are all easily recognizable.
Yeah, it's about the U.S. political state of affairs since Donald Trump's leading up just prior to the election and all the turmoil that came after that. So obviously, Donald Trump as the peacock is one of the main characters. President Obama as a chameleon lizard was another main character. And Hillary Clinton as a parrot was one of the main characters. But there's other secondary characters. And I just want to say up front, I tied all these characters except one to actual people. I left one open for interpretation, and he's sort of the main character and has a big part of the book throughout, and sort of the last chapter is dedicated just to him, the penultimate chapter, I would add. And he's Woo. He's a wise old owl, and he's someone who sits up in a tree at, you know, on the farm and looks very objectively at things and how they're, you know, progressing from both sides, and draws on his experiences in the past and how things are different now. So the owl, another character is a chief justice. our associate justice, the Bull, who's sort of one of the prior justices on the Supreme Court, Anthony Scalia, who, you know, if you've done wrong or you have to prove a point, you have to go down and you have to match your wits against this bull and this pin with a crowd around. And there's several little different kinds of fun and games that he's designed to show. Are you legit or are you not? And the trials and tribulations of the certain politicians that have to go through that, I think, is pretty interesting.
Robert R. Williams, our guest and the author of Rainbow Farm. You'll find the book wherever books are sold. I'll send you to Amazon. That's easy to remember. And we'll have a listing on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. You've got the Editorial College. I love that. You've got L.A. Madcow, a journalist with the Shrill News Network. So as you're going through the characters, you're going to smile as you're reading all of the names of the characters, and then you follow their antics in the book Rainbow Farm. There are many references in the book that can be tied to real-world events and people. Some seem easy, others a little more cryptic in your messaging. Share some of that are obvious and some that are harder to get.
Yeah, actually, the ones that are really easy, I would say, is, you know, right there on the cover where you see, you know, Pete the Peacock and yes. with his red Make the Farm Grow Again as opposed to Make America Great Again hat on his head with his beautiful wife beside his side. But then you have some little secondary characters like the little mouse on the front with the hammer that sort of denotes the aide to Bill Clinton, who was accused of destroying Hillary's cell phone mechanically.
Yes.
You have the crows, which are a couple of Congress women. I won't say who they are. That's up for the, you know, the reader to figure out. So the main characters are pretty easy. Some of the secondary characters, you may have to do a little digging. But what I did to help people is I created a cheat sheet. So I annotated every single reference in the book, whether it be historical, political, there's musical, there's geographical. And I lined those up with what they actually stand for and who they actually represent to help the reader if so interested, which my email's in the book, and if anyone wants to email, I'm gladly to send that cheat sheet.
You know, it's really fascinating, the effort that you put into developing this. It's sort of ingenious what you have done with the characters and matching these with people in real life. And it's sort of like a history lesson, sort of current affairs, as we're looking through your book, Rainbow Farm, and relating them to people from actual events. With all the characters that you wrote, and I think maybe you just alluded to it, what's your favorite character? Do you have one that it's like, boy, I really nailed this one. This one's good.
I think it would be Bill Clinton and as Rex the Rooster, because in my opinion, I think, you know, whether you agree with his, you know, his political views or not, I think he's probably in my lifetime the most brilliant politician. And I'm a bit partial because I'm from Arkansas and he was the governor. He was
the governor
of Arkansas, obviously. But he's probably my favorite character. He's not a main character, but he's, you know, he's there by Hillary's side, by the parrot's side, giving her advice, telling her things that he should do. And he's pretty much ignored. And I just thought that was probably the downfall of Hillary Clinton would be not listening to someone as brilliant as her husband on where she should get out on the farm and go and campaign. Because basically she's in real life, she's stuck to the East Coast and the West Coast, which were her comfort zones.
Yes.
And the whole
yes.
time he's telling her, you need to get into the Rust Belt and go see those animals. You got to get dirty with the pigs. You got to get. And that's the other thing is I've laid out the farm geographically to depict, you know, by animals. I use mascots. Was very helpful from college football team to say, oh, you're in the Gator portion, which is Florida, or you're,
yes.
you know, you're in the Duck portion, which is Oregon. So that's sort of how I laid things out. But he would probably be my favorite character. And I think the fascinating conversation he had when he's out walking one day, there's two conversations. He has one with the eagle that's following him that's actually portrays one of the eagles from the rock band, the Eagles. And then there's a part where he has a conversation where him and Donald Trump, Pete the Peacock, meet up in a bar and they had this really in-depth conversation and they actually realize they're more alike than they are different.
The book is so well done, Rainbow Farm by Robert R. Williams. And what Bill is saying to Hillary, a little more attention spent to the Ectorial College there in the Midwestern part of the states and Midwestern part of the country. Said maybe you'd be president of the United States now and you'd have Donald Trump as a secondary character. Such a great job with this. Is there a takeaway that you would like? Because it's so entertaining, but it really goes beyond that, doesn't it?
I think so. And I think the real number one takeaway I would like for Americans who are reading the book is like, look, we're no better than other people. Don't get me wrong. I spent 32 years of my life, you know, sworn to an oath and to defend. And I believe in this country. And yes, we are very benevolent. Yes, we do great things. But when it comes to certain things, I think we're a bit hypocritical. And one of the main examples I use for that would be the whole Russia collusion story. You know, I say, well, did Russia collude in the election? Yeah, they did. Well, guess what? They've been colluding in elections for the last, you know, since they were the Soviet Union.
Yes.
It's nothing new. You know who else colludes in elections? The United States. So I really wanted to say, you know, we need to get off our high horse and be a little more self-critical of some of our policies and, you know, quit pointing fingers at the other guy and sort of do a look at ourselves on how we can do things better on our side.
Once you come up with this idea, the characters for Rainbow Farm, then you've got to develop a storyline. Then you have to develop sort of the location where this is taking place. And all of these are major undertakings. Talk about the layout of the farm and how you chose this description, because the farm is just as important a part of the story as the characters.
Yeah. What I wanted to do with that, I wanted to show, and that sort of ties into the Ectorial College. One of the things I like about this book, I think it's, you know, at the same time, of course, it's satire. I want it to be funny, but I want it to teach lessons as well. You know, I wanted to show that less populated parts of the farm are just as important as very populated parts of the farm, yes. Which sort of brings us back to the Electoral College. But what I did is I just started at the top, I think it was at Maine, and I just worked my way down the East Coast, and, you know, I hit South Carolina, I said, those are Gamecocks. And then I hit Florida, we got Gators, and then we move on over, and, you know, there was an old in, like, Arizona, and then I got over to, like, California with cougars and up to Oregon with ducks and Washington with apples. And I also created what I refer, instead of swing states, they're like swing belts. So there was an egg belt, a pork belt, a dairy belt. So I wanted to show that, you know, try to tie it back to what the United States is and how it's very populated in some regions and not so populated in others, but that all those regions are just as important regardless of how populated they are.
This book is so well thought out as you talk about it. I'm even more impressed in what went into this when we really have a chance to talk about it and to think about all the various aspects that went into Rainbow Farm by Robert R. Williams. Now let's talk about the illustrations. You bring all of this to life. Talk about how you chose the color illustrations, maybe a favorite you have, and then the finding an illustrator in your process of doing this, because once again, this is the visual that the people will see of your story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's been a really interesting process, and I kept the same illustrator for the sequel. But how it came about was, you know, I was looking at, like everyone else, quick Google search. And, you know, I found a lady up in Oregon. And I was like, well, you know, this book does lean a little to the right. But, you know, business is business. People seem to set aside their political, you know, leanings when it comes to making money. So,
yeah,
of course,
got to feed the family.
Yeah, exactly. But it was a illustrator up in Oregon, and she had one of the girls that worked for her, of all places, with an American girl that's married to a Dutch man, and she lives in Amsterdam. So I would send her it started out with me just sending her like a paragraph or something and say, can you match this? And when you look at these illustrations, I think they make the book. I mean, I would buy the book just for the illustrations. I mean, the level of detail, and it's like we created, I don't know, we sort of had a Vulcan mind meld where I would just give her a few lines and she would come back with an illustration, and sometimes it might require a small edit because it might, you know, conflict with some later on text. And I would tell her, you know, you just need to make this, you know, tiny change. But I really think the illustrations are phenomenal.
Really, just like with the text, the illustrations really nail it and make this the really the complete package. Rainbow Farm by Robert R. Williams. You'll find it at Amazon, the usual places. For you in putting this together, this was sort of like what 27 years or whatever that you've been thinking about this concept in this presentation. What was it like for you in writing this book? How rewarding is this? Not only the writing, but getting it out there now and having people being entertained and thinking because of your work.
Yeah, and just real quick, I'll back up and answer the question you asked, which one of my favorite one was. And it would have to be the, and it's my brother's too. It's one in there that's where it's, "Say hello to my little yellow friends." And it's Donald Trump sitting behind his desk, and he has instead of Twitter, it's Tweeter. It's little yellow canaries that he's tying messages to and sending them out the window to go and deliver, you know, just like he tweets. He could tweet 24/7, it seems like, sometimes. But instead of Twitter, he's got Tweeter. And that's another one of those, you know, sort of things that I thought was really cool.
You did.
But I'm sorry, your last question was, again, the process?
Yeah, the process. What's this been like for you writing this?
Yeah, educational. I mean, because there would be certain things I'll give you a quick example. Like, I would say something, "Damn the torpedoes." So, you know, I've heard that expression almost my entire life, and I'm like, where did that come from? I mean, I would, and basically, and it comes from a naval battle in the Civil War between Union and Confederate forces off the coast of Alabama, where there was a certain captain that said, you know, "Straight ahead, damn the torpedoes." So little things like that, where I would go back and try to find the origin of a particular saying or a religious thing. Where in the Bible did that particular saying come from? So very educational, very humbling. I mean, you don't realize how many mistakes you make. You know, the whole process of back and forth between the editing with the publishing company. Because you'll be thinking one thing and you'll actually write another because you got so many ideals that are inside of your head. You know, sometimes I would write the wrong farm. I would write Red Farm, which stands for Russia, instead of Rainbow Farm. I got to go back and correct that. So it's a very tedious process, and but very rewarding, you know, once you're done and you have something that has your name on it.
You've got a lot going on with the characters, with the setting, all of this. It's a wonderful package, delightful read, Rainbow Farm by Robert R. Williams. Rapidly running out of time, I want to talk about the final chapter. It's titled Woo Hoots. It's a longer chapter, mostly dialogue, so obviously you put much thought into this particular part of the book. Briefly, though, if you could describe what you were trying to accomplish with that interview and the short final piece on the new generation on the farm. It's so well done.
Yeah. It really goes, it's sort of more of a deep dive into all the things that he's seen from, you know, why the election went the way it did. But I think the part I liked about that most was how he shows, you know, because he grew up, he's older, of course, he's a wise old owl. He's been around for a while. Could be me, could be several people. But he shows how society has changed. And there's one particular case in there where he's talking about the well is where all the animals would gather, and back in the day they would gather there and talk. But what technology has changed is now when you see groups of people, it's almost like social retardation because everyone's just staring at their mobile phone, and you have like a group of nine people that are just total individuals as opposed to a group that would be collectively having conversation. So he talks about technology changes and sort of gives his view of how the world is.
Again, the book is just a delightful read. Rainbow Farm by Robert R. Williams, our guest on the program. Minor, so I want to ask here, you've mentioned about a sequel. Talk about that and what's it going to be about? Because I'm looking forward to having a chance to talk with you about the sequel of Rainbow Farm.
Yeah, the sequel picks up with, it focuses mostly on the impeachment and, of course, what is pretty much driving the number one thought of everyone's mind is the virus. So the impacts of the impeachment process and then followed by the virus leading up to our current election.
Well, looking forward to that. And I have a feeling that somewhere George Orwell is going, you know, that guy really did a nice job on that book with that concept.
I hope so. I mean, you know, it's been an experience.
Well, it certainly has been. And I tell you, it is just a job well done. And it's fascinating getting the backstory on this, where this idea came from, how long this that seed was planted and the fruition and getting the first book out there. It's Rainbow Farm by Robert R. Williams. Book available at Amazon, wherever books are sold. The sequel will be out soon, and we'll have Robert back, and we'll be talking about that. Robert, a pleasure. Thank you so much for being with us on the program. Look forward to having you back to talk about the sequel. Great having a chance to get a little idea behind the genius that went into the production of Rainbow Farm. Thank you for being with us on the program.
Thank you, Rick. I appreciate it.
Looking forward to having Robert Williams back with us. This book is Rainbow Farm. It's available wherever books are sold, including Amazon.com. Information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. We're back on today's program after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.